And good afternoon. I'm Kevin Kelly. This is Live and Local. It's your connection to local performances. And on today's program, we'll be talking with two artists affiliated with performances, both happening in our area on Sunday afternoon, both of them happening to be at 3 o'clock. So you'll have to choose which one to go to. I'm talking about a performance by The Chieftains, that marvelous and venerable traditional Irish band out of Ireland, which is headed by Paddy Maloney. They're going to be playing at the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts Sunday afternoon, and I'll be talking with Mr. Maloney coming up on the program, and we'll be hearing from their latest album, which is just out last year with a whole bunch of special guests they have from various fields of music. But first, my guest will be Andrew Tyson, a much younger and hardly venerable performer. He's all of 24 years old, American pianist, graduate student at the University of at the Juilliard School in New York City, and one of only three winners of the 2011 Young Concert Artists International Auditions. And as a result of winning those auditions, he is on a tour that brings him to the Kranert Center Sunday afternoon. The program includes music by Chopin, his Opus 28 Preludes. Here is one of his Opus 10 Etudes, played by Andrew Tyson. Music by Frédéric Chopin, his Etude in F Major, Opus 10, Number 8. It was played by pianist Andrew Tyson. Live performance from the International Chopin Competition in Warsaw. He was actually coming to the Kranert Center in Urbana Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock as winner of the 2011 Young Concert Artists International Auditions. He was one of only three winners at that, with an applicant pool spanning some 28 countries. And the Kranert Center participates with YCA and with other competitions to present their winners on a concert tour. I think that's one of the prizes they get, I suppose. Andrew Tyson is with us on the phone. Thanks for joining us on the show.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Was I accurate in saying that when you win something like this, or maybe specifically Young Concert Artists, that among other things, you get a bunch of concerts?
Yes, indeed. YCA has a really huge network of contacts within the States and abroad as well. And it's been really just an incredible honor and privilege to get to share this great music in a number of prestigious venues around the country.
Okay. You've also done some other competitions. How many competitions have you done, if you remember? And then how many of you either won something, you know, either top or a pretty good prize, if you remember?
Depends on how you define competition, I suppose. I did a number of local competitions growing up. I think I only won one of them because most of them didn't really have prizes as such. They just had this sort of rating system. You got a certificate that would say superior or excellent, or, well, I don't think they said something like mediocre. They were all pretty popular, those certificates, but there were no clear winners or losers or prizes really of any kind other than those certificates. But since going to Curtis when I was 18, I've done not so many competitions. The really serious ones have included the Chopin competition in Warsaw in 2010, and then YCA, of course, and then the Leeds competition this past September in Leeds, England. I guess the only one that I've actually won was YCA, and lucky that. But Chopin, I only got to the semifinals, and Leeds, I was fortunate enough to get fifth prize and the orchestra prize. But as they say, you win some, you lose some. And they've all been incredibly positive learning experiences for me. A lot of people talk about how cutthroat competitions can be, but for me, they provide an incredibly focused kind of artistic environment that's not really like any other, and it's a great chance to get to air a lot of repertoire at once.
So you said that some people consider them cutthroat. Was that the word you used?
That was the word.
Yeah. And you said earlier that you did a lot of local competitions when you were younger, local to Durham, North Carolina.
That's right. I grew up in Durham. I studied with a number of wonderful local teachers there.
You said you went to Curtis and you did your bachelor's degree there, and then you did the master's degree at the Juilliard School. Both of these really well-known conservatories of music in the United States, both of them, of course, in the East. I've always been curious myself, as somebody who initially thought he might have wanted to go to Curtis and then ended up not applying and on. But how are the two different environmentally or in any other way? Because they certainly are extremely different from what I've heard, but I've not really heard how.
Well, it's funny that you said that you almost applied to Curtis, because I almost didn't apply to Curtis. And I'm actually really, really grateful that I did, because it really changed my life. Curtis is a very small school. It has only about 160 students.
160?
I think that's right.
Yeah.
160 or so at any given time. And needless to say, that creates kind of intimate environment. It feels a little bit more like a community of musicians than a music institution, even though it is the Institute of Music. And it's really just unbelievable that everybody there speaks kind of the same musical language. To say that individuality is not encouraged. In fact, what's most remarkable is that individuality is prized, even cherished there. And everybody sort of learns and develops together, kind of share efforts. And Juilliard, being in New York, as opposed to Curtis in Philadelphia, is still a very small school, but a little bit bigger than Curtis. And it's indeed very different. The musicians are equally wonderful there, that's for sure. But it's a little bit more like the real world. Curtis is sort of this little bubble. Once you leave that bubble, you sort of realize that there's no other place. Well, Juilliard gives you more of a realistic idea of what the music business is like, professional life. And that, I think, has been a really invaluable experience as well for me.
You said that at Curtis, individuality was prized, and I am looking at the program that you're going to be playing at the Cranert Center. I'll just remind people I'm talking with Andrew Tyson, one of the winners of the Young Concert Artists International Auditions in 2011, and he's playing here under the terms of that winning. The program has a partita of Bach, all the 24 preludes of Chopin, and a sonata of Scriabin, plus a prelude by the Frenchman Henri Dutilleux. And speaking, for example, of the Bach, how might individuality apply in your approach to this piece, or might it not?
I think this is a question best asked about Bach on the piano, because there is, of course, a historical debate about whether or not it is right to play Bach on instrument other than the harpsichord. So in a sense, I'm already committing a sin by programming Bach on a piano recital. Individuality in Bach is, I think, something that is almost requisite. We have, of course, a number of historical treatises on writing, ornamentation, and improvisation in Baroque music. I'm referring to those by Quantz and C.P.E. Bach, among others. There are also many modern texts that have been written on the subject by Rodrigo Escoda and others. And what's amazing about this is that it really agrees on much of anything. And
you said nobody agrees on much of anything.
And I think that there have been a number of myths about ornamentation and improvisation that have been passed down and accepted as truth. For example, probably the one that has been most perpetuated is that all ornaments in Bach should begin on the upper note. This is just absolutely not true. It's dependent on the situation. However, for me, I think playing on the piano, already one really must use the full capabilities of the instrument, the pedal, the dynamic range, the various timbres and the colors. And why not? I think that Bach would be absolutely delighted with these things. And if he were to have encountered a piano, I think he would have written for it. He certainly wrote for the available keyboard instruments in his time. And I also think that in order to make this music relevant today, we must add a bit of ourselves to it while still respecting what's there.
Well, and if you're gonna play it on piano, you might as well play it on the piano and not pretend you're playing it on a less expressive instrument like the harpsichord.
Indeed. Although the harpsichord can indeed be a quite expressive instrument.
Well, I was thinking as I was, that's coming out of my mouth, that somebody's going to howl in protest that I just said what I said. Let's just say a little more uniform in color, since he used that term earlier.
There you go. There you go.
Well, let's hear Andrew Tyson play some Bach. In fact, these are two of the movements that will be that'll open his recital Sunday. It'll open with the Partita number 1 in B flat. And these are the Prelude and Allemande, and then we'll continue with Scriabin's music after intermission, Dutilleux and Chopin. He's winner of one of three winners of the 2011 Young Concert Artists International Auditions, and we've been pleased to have him here on Live and Local. Thanks very much.
Thank you. It's been a great pleasure.
Pianist Andrew Tyson playing music by Johann Sebastian Bach from his keyboard partita number 1 in B-flat. We heard the Prelude and the Allemande. Those two pieces, in fact, will open his recital at the Krannert Center in Urbana Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock. Of course, he'll play the rest of the partita as well with music by Scriabin, Dutilleux, and Chopin all on that program. And we were pleased to have him here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Stay tuned. Coming up for a conversation with Patty Maloney, who is the leader and founder of the Chieftains, the wonderful traditional Irish group that has been around for ages, it seems. They're going to be playing also Sunday afternoon at the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts. Want to say thanks to all those who contributed to our Clear the Air campaign last week. In case you missed it, that was part of the idea. Well, we didn't want you to miss it, but we didn't want you to be overpowered by it. It was our fundraising campaign, on-the-air fundraising campaign, except we didn't do much on the air. We mentioned it a few times and let you go to our website. And with your help, we actually went over our goal. We had a goal of raising $40,000, we raised over $43,000. And because of your support and our cooperation with Common Ground Food Co-op, they will be donating 1,900 meals to the Eastern Illinois Food Bank. So thanks again for helping two great community resources, the Food Bank and WILL and Illinois Public Media. By the way, our programs on FM 90.9 are now streaming on our website that started, a week or 2 weeks ago. I guess it was 2 weeks ago on Valentine's Day. We are pretty excited about it, have been pretty low-key about it, wanted to make sure things are working right. They are mostly working right, but the most important thing is if you can't get to a radio, but you're at a computer, you can listen to us live. You've been able to get our AM's companion station for quite a while, but now you can get this station, including this show. If you are accustomed to listening on 101.1 FM and then lost the ability to hear this program on that frequency, you can now hear it on the web live. Here are the Chieftains from their latest CD, came out last year. It's called Voice of Ages. And the voice you will hear at the beginning of this track is, in fact, Patty Maloney. He is the Illan Piper, and in this case, Tin Whistler, with the Chieftains. The tune is called The Lark in the Clear Air. And then he'll be joined by Olam Punch with the Punch Brothers. Chieftains with the Punch Brothers, who appear a couple of times on the Chieftains' latest CD called Voice of Ages. It came out last year. And the first tune, that was called Olam Punch. Before that was The Lark in the Clear Air. And that featured my guest on this portion of Live and Local, Patty Maloney, who is a leader and founding member of the Chieftains. He also is the Tin Whistle player and the Illan Piper. And this is actually a conversation I had with him yesterday afternoon. And as it happens, he was really fun to talk to. You sort of wind him up and he goes with all kinds of interesting stories. And I pressed play on our recorder right in the middle of his telling me about who was actually touring with him on the band, in the band. He'll mention the regular members of the band, or maybe I do, in the conversation, but he's begins by talking about singer Aileth McCormick, who is, the part that I left off is that she's hails from the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland, and we'll let Patty Maloney tell you the rest in advance of the Chieftains' performance in Bloomington Sunday afternoon.
Her name is Aileth, A-L-Y-T-H, Aileth McCormick. And she does Scots Gaelic and as well as English. In fact, I get her to sing the song Carrick Fergus, which is a beautiful song. And, you know, it connects Ireland and Scotland as well. It's only 14 miles away. And then we have our harp player, Trina Marshall, who Trina's a great harp player. She's with us now for 12 years since Derek Bell passed away. Old Ding Dong Bell, as I used to call him. And but Derek was wonderful. And then, of course, we've got the John and Nathan Palatsky, the Palatsky brothers, who do this style of dancing, the Ottawa Valley style of dancing. It's crazy, mad, but it's all to Irish music. And John is a great fiddle player himself as well. We have a little contingent from Nashville. We've got Jeff White. I don't know whether you've ever come across Jeff, but he sings with and plays with Vince Gill for the last 30 years. And he's just amazing picker, you know. My God, his style. And so he's been with us, you know, he was like the seventh chieftain when we did Down the Old Plank Road series. And then to cover the bluegrass side of things, Patty Loveless had a fiddle player, and still has, of course, when she goes out. And both of them have shared Grammys together. She's just the most incredible bluegrass fiddle player I've ever come across. And she plays all our stuff as well, you know. And she's on stage with us. Now, Bloomington, you know, I'm not sure if there's some guests like Low Anthem from the new album turning up in different places. I'm not quite sure. But we'll also have, incidentally, one of your pipe bands, a pipe band to play the March to Battle that we did with on the San Patricio album. And local dancers, of course, join in. So it's a big show. We even have the crowd up dancing at the end, you know.
Well, it sounds like a lot of fun. And Aileth and Trina will be with you on the tour?
Oh, yeah, and John and Nathan Pavatsky.
They were, we were really privileged to have Aileth and Trina actually on our radio show play live pretty recently, I think in the fall, because they played on the Piper's Hut concert series here, which happens in Urbana.
Some concerts, that's correct.
Yeah.
I'd forgotten about that. You know, Trina is one of the most amazing harp players now. You know, I persuaded her to leave the symphony, you know, and she just took her a couple of years to get into her stride, but my heavens, she'd blind you altogether, you know. She's a showstopper. And Aileth, of course, is so wonderful, that voice of an angel and great stuff, you know. So Aileth's been singing with us now for 7 years. You know, she came as a guest to sing two songs, and so she's in and out all the time on stage, you know, doing our thing. And I, as I say, I'm not quite sure if there's any of the guests from the album, but there's some of them turning up different places. Anyway, Bloomington will be a great spot for us to. We're going to have a great concert there for you.
Well, it sounds like it. And when you mentioned that Trina Marshall sort of taken over from Derek Bell, who died, in 2002, was it?
Yes, that's right, yeah.
Sort of raises a question. I mean, the Chieftains have been around, since 1962?
Even longer than that. Going back further, yeah.
And so when you've had somebody like Derek Bell, who was one of the iconic harpists, of course,
yes,
with this iconic group, and then then they die or they move on or whatever, what's the process of bringing in a new sound, bringing in a new person? It's got to be challenging.
Well, I decided I wasn't going to recruit new chieftains. I would just have guests. And in fact, after Derek died, I didn't have a harp. I had a cello player playing, and some local harp players in different cities would come and just play one or two medleys. You know, we'd have a little remembrance for Derek. You know, but when I was asked to do a concert for the London Proms and Carolyn's Concerto. Was one of the tunes that, in fact, for Derek, when I met him in way back in 1972, it was. That's when Derek joined the Chieftains, and that was the tune with the orchestra in Belfast. I could not believe it. It only struck me afterwards. Here I was back with them again, with Trina Marshall, and I don't know how or who introduced me to her, but she's with us ever since, you know. And so they're guests, you know, they're guests, and it sort of works that way for us. You know, there's still the four chieftains, although three of us are playing in concert. Sean doesn't travel, he doesn't like long distances anymore, you know, but he's still a chieftain.
And it shows Sean Keane, the fiddle player, Kenneth, Kevin Conniff and Baron and doing some vocals.
Matt Malloy
on the flute. And, of course, yourself on the Illan pipes and the tin whistle.
Yes.
You mentioned briefly the album, and the album we're talking about is Voice of Ages, which came out when? I actually forgot to look for the date.
It came out last year, and it's been going so strong ever since. I mean, it got into Starbucks, you know, the Starbucks throughout the country, and they ordered 3 times, which is outdone, you know, people. So many other people, bigger names than we have, you know, like Leonard Cohen, it's 2-1, you know.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Well, it's sort of, for a long, long time, the Chieftains have been doing lots of collaborations in performance and on recordings with both really well-known people and artists who are, you know, well-known within their particular sphere. And this one sort of hypes that up because every track on here has some different guest from some different world of music.
Correct.
And I wanted to maybe share with our listeners one of them that I just latched onto because these folks have been in our area a couple times. In fact, they were on our radio show too, the Carolina Chocolate Drops.
Oh, my God. I was hoping you'd mention that. That to me is nearest to us than any of us. But, you know, it was so wonderful to work with them. And when I spoke on the telephone to Rihanna, and she's the girl, I thought she was from the south of Ireland someplace, because she started to sing mouth music, like that kind of thing, you know, and it was perfect. I could have sworn she was from Ireland, and this was only when we were asked to do the Jules Holland television show in London for the BBC. It's a very well-known program, and the very tops of people from around the world appear on it. But they got the Carolina Chocolate Drops and ourselves to do that piece for the television. You know, Norah Jones was on it, and Jack White was on the same program, and it was magic. And Jules was asked, you know, for the new series, who did he enjoy most over the last one, and he said it was the Chieftains with the Carolina Chocolate Drops. So. Yeah, I'd give anything to if we could team up together for an extended tour.
That would be
maybe
a lot
someday.
Of fun.
Yeah.
Well, let's give a listen. This is called Pretty Little Girl, the Chieftains with Carolina Chocolate Drops, and the voice you'll hear is that of Rhiannon Giddens, who was the one who didn't make our show. Her father had a health problem at the time, but just a fabulous voice. Anyway, here we go, live and local on FM 90.9. Called Pretty Little Girl with the Carolina Chocolate Drops on the CD by the Chieftains. Their CD from last year called Voice of Ages here on Live and Local. The Chieftains are going to be at the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock with a number of guests. And I have with us the leader and founder of the Chieftains, Patty Maloney, who's their whistle player and Illan Piper. And you have this one album or track on the CD with a group that I know the name of, and I'm trying to remember if I've encountered them or not, with a wonderful name called The Low Anthem.
Yes, Low Anthem.
Who are these folks?
These folks, they're a young group, and a girl who plays dulcimer, she plays, and organ. But they're young and brilliant and lovely tone. As I was saying, we did a Letterman show with them there last year, and a couple of PBS radio shows. But they blended beautifully with the band, and the song, as I say, was one of my favourites. School Days Over. My grandson, I start him up with his choir from school, just to give it a taste before getting into the song. And it's a song I used to sing when I was in school, which means there will be a big fair in the town of County Clare. and it melts its way then into the song itself. So they've been doing a couple of concerts on this tour with us as well. I'm not sure which cities. I've lost track. It's a 5-week tour. And like, for instance, we have the Sultans of Strings with us at one stage as well. And Chris O'Donnell, who, you know, he did the Punch Brothers. He's coming to some of the shows as well. So for me, when I was putting this album together, and I got, by the way, a little bit of help from my good friend T-Bone Burnett, who introduced me to quite a few of the artists, like the Bon Ivers and the Pistolanis and the Secret Sisters. And but I choose the music for them and, you know, arranged it and recorded them. And T-Bone sat in on quite a number of the tracks, in fact, you know. So I brought it back to Ireland to mix and put the band and came to Los Angeles and did the mastering. But there's also one exciting track on it, which I'm going to show the video, I hope, in Bloomington, if they have it there, of Katie Coleman, the astronaut. She plays the flute, and she took one of Matt Malloy's flutes and one of my tin whistles to space, to the International Space Station. And I used to get these phone calls. I'm directly over you now, you know. She was calling me from the space station. I thought I'd had a few too many, you know. But on St. Patrick's Day, she sent down a video of herself performing and floating around with her hair sticking up in the air and the whistle up and floating around and the flute. And I gave her a tune called Fanny Power. So we actually performed that and showed the video on stage as well. But she's a gem altogether, you know. She's a colonel in NASA, you know, and been up many times. And I should add to that, incidentally, when we were in Houston 2 weeks ago, we touched base with Chris Hadfield, who is also on the space shuttle at the International Space Station at the moment. And he's a great fan of Van Morrison, so he sang, a good singer himself. So we connected from stage to space, to the space shuttle, and we did the song Moon Dance. So that's on a video which can be got on YouTube. I haven't got a computer now. I'm not into those things myself. But you can actually get hold of it from the NASA station, you know.
Well, it sounds like, I mean, you're really stretching the whole idea of collaboration here with this one.
Yeah, this world is becoming too small a place now. I've got to get out there.
Well, what do you, when you write a song and then involve somebody like any of these folks, yes, who have come from such diverse areas of music,
yes,
how much do you adapt to their sound and how much do you expect them to adapt to your sound?
Well, there's always a great, you know, when we get together in the studio. I mean, I have it well worked out in my head, and when I pitch the songs to them, maybe two or three for them to select, hopefully they would pick the one I want that would have that Irish connection, which happened quite a bit on this album. Like the Bon Iver song, for instance, he was on tour, and he said, the minute I get home at the end of November, I'll into the studio and send it to you. Don't let it out without me. So he went out and he recorded down by Willow Gardens. And the air of that, of course, is an old Irish air, 200 or 300 years old, called The Men of the West. And so it was easy for me to be able to work around what he sent me. I had the band ready and the tape arrived or came down the line and we recorded and I mixed it that day, and 5 o'clock in the morning I was gone to Los Angeles to master. And it's just like that. But I have a great vision, and when I do meet up with them, a lot of the recordings that took place live with myself, I'd have the old tin whistle there, and that breaks down barriers. I'm not going in with staff notation or dots and dashes for them to read around that, you know. It's a sort of a live feeling always, and that kind of thing, you know. For instance, we're going to be doing the March to Battle with one of your local pipe bands, and Liam Neeson and did a narration on that, and he won't be coming, but I recorded it with the San Patricio Pipe Band in Mexico City when I went down there. Roy Cura came with me, but I brought that particular tape. I was there playing the whistle with them, and it was, you know, I could have had 3 or 4 albums out of it, you know, because they all wanted to do extra pieces and things. And so there's a great thing happening. It's a great calling card to have, to be there and for them to experience, you know, a situation where they're not under any sort of pressure or anything. And these things happen. Even 2 days ago in Nashville, there's a singer called Trace Atkins. You may have heard of him.
Mm-hmm.
He's a country singer, and he's doing a new Christmas album. And he pleaded with us to go in, although it's our morning off, you know. But it only took us an hour and a half to put down. I saw 3 ships are sailing. So, you know, once you're there, and that's great friendly just happened, and you know it's going to be positive, you know.
And I imagine it's a fantastic way for the chieftains to stay young, vibrant, current, everything like that, and make it always fun for yourselves.
Absolutely.
And always new.
Yeah, absolutely, you know. So it happens every day. There's something happening, something going on, and I think we bring all that life and good humor and everything to the stage, which is our forte, really. You know, recordings and meeting up with people. But to get up there, we're still the traditional Irish music band, and there's a track on that CD called The Chieftains Reunion, where I call them my Sean Potts and Michael Tubridy, who are in their early 80s now, but they're founder members of the Chieftains, and I got them out of retirement to come in and do a track, you know, and we reenact that on stage too.
It's Paddy Maloney of the Chieftains. He's the founder and a leader of the group, and he's bringing the band and some friends to the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts Sunday afternoon at 3:00. And you can get more information by going to the website artsblooming.org, or, of course, for the Chieftains, you can Google them as well. Thanks very much for joining us on the show. It's great to talk to you.
Wonderful to talk to you. I'm looking forward to meeting all my friends there and people who have come to our shows in the past.
And here is that Chieftains reunion track that Patty mentioned from their the Voice of Ages CD out last year. It's simply called Chieftains Reunion with present members plus Sean Potts and Michael Tubridy. I think that was the laughter of Paddy Maloney himself, who was my guest earlier this hour on Live and Local. He is leader and founder of the Chieftains, and that came off of their Voice of Ages CD, which is their latest, came out last year. And it's track 13, The Chieftains Reunion, in which they were, of course, their present band. And I'm not sure who the female vocalist was, if it was Aileth McCormick or not, who he mentioned at the beginning of our conversation, but also joining the 4-piece core band were returning members Sean Potts and Michael Tubridy, and both of them returning from ages ago. They joined as founders in 1962, and they left, actually, both of them in 1979. So that must have been a blast for all involved. The Chieftains will be with quite a number of friends at the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts this coming Sunday afternoon at 3:00. Our programs today on FM 90.9 are made possible by Cranard Art Museum, presenting a Sudden Sound concert this Thursday at 7:30, that's tonight, at the Cranard Art Museum's Noel Gallery, featuring Douglas R. Ewart and Wadada Leo Smith, presenting music drawing upon their work in the traditions of the African diaspora. Here are some other events that you can see and hear live in our listening area for the next couple of days. Parkland College Theater is presenting You Can't Take It With You, that's in Champaign, tonight at 7:30 through Saturday, and a Sunday matinee at 3. The Juilliard String Quartet is at the Cranert Center in Urbana tonight at 7:30. Brad Wheeler and Tim Green Duo playing jazz at Bouvons in Urbana this evening at 6 o'clock. Heartland Theater Company in Normal presents Time Stands Still tonight at 7:30 through Saturday and a sunny matinee at 2 o'clock. Eastern Illinois University Theater is presenting the 25th Annual Putnam County Spelling Bee at the Doudna Fine Arts Center in Charleston tonight at 7:30. And that also runs Friday and Saturday and a sunny matinee at 2. ISU Theater presents Oklahoma at the ISU Center for the Performing Arts in Normal at 7:30 tonight. Ditto through the weekend and on Sunday afternoon. And the University of Illinois School of Music Opera Program presents My Fair Lady. That opens tonight at the Krannert Center in Urbana, 7:30 tonight, Friday and Saturday, Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock. And on tomorrow's Live and Local, a group that plays in Arthur, Illinois every Wednesday night, the Gunny Sack Review will be joining us live for the hour here on the program. You're listening to 90.9 WYLL FM and HD Urbana with translator W293 AF Danville, NPR Classical Music, and more for Central Illinois. WYLL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. I'm Kevin Kelly. Thanks for listening.